Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. It's good to worship together with you as a congregation this morning. And it's good to have you visitors that are with us too. And may we learn together as we look into God's word this morning. This morning I'd like to share with you one of the songs in the Bible. It's a song because it comes from the book of songs, the book of Psalms. And it is the first one. You may turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1. It is interesting that this large book of songs in the Bible, that the Psalms, the first word is blessed. And that just puts a smile on my face and a warmth in my heart right away to know that that first big song book, the first word is blessed. And that can be me as I follow God's guidelines. And if I, as I put my trust in the Lord and what he has done for me through Jesus. Blessed. These Psalms, most of them are Hebrew poetry. And it is so interesting how that these Psalms are worded and how they use expressions of poetry from the Hebrew. And we read them today and we don't think all of them think about so much them as poetry, but they were. And one of the things, of course, is this term parallelism, which expresses itself in several different ways. And but there's so many things that just jump out at us as we look at this little short psalm this morning. I would like to just read the verses at this time. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's note several things here at the beginning. Actually, we want to note a number of things that just kind of jump out at you if you take enough time to look at the lines and phrases of this psalm. First of all, let's note the three buts. The word but is used in the psalm three times. And like we've said many times before, whenever you see the word but, be sure you understand the difference of the thought on each side of that word. So you have but in verse, beginning with verse 2. What's the contrasting? What's on each side of it? Well, you have the ungodly described in verse 1. And then the opposite of that lifestyle, that living, in verse 2. We'll talk more about this later, of course. Another way to look at it is to look at the first half of the psalm and then the second half. And so if you say that the first half would be verses 1, 2, and 3. And so I already said there's some things about the ungodly in verse 1. But of course, as you see the way it's written saying the blessed man does not do these things. And so the first three verses are, we see the blessed man. And then most of the last half is the ungodly man. Of course, the sixth verse, the last verse, kind of sums up, and it talks about both the righteous man and the ungodly man. So you have kind of two halves there, the first half and the second half, and describing different things. You can note also what the blessed man does in verse 1. Well, no, what he does not do in verse 1. What the blessed man does not do in verse 1, but yes, what he does in verse 2. And verse 2 is one of the shortest verses of the psalm. It just states it so simply. In contrast to what he does not do and what the ungodly does in verse 1, it states it so short and simply in verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And there it stops with that thought. It's just that short and simple. We'll probably talk about this more, but that right there, you know, seems like kind of the punch of the psalm. If you look at that and see how what that does for him, how that follows him, how that benefits him, that statement in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And consequently, you have the great difference between the ungodly and the righteous. Now, many people, many scholars, commentators, would see this Psalm 1 as really an introduction to the whole book of Psalms, that contained within it is a good introduction to what is in the whole book of Psalms. If you were to pick out maybe a theme verse for the psalm, even though it's only six little verses here, if you were to pick out a theme verse, you would probably go to either verse 1 or 6. And for this reason, both verse 1 and 6 are really the only two verses that speak about both the righteous and the ungodly. So you have the righteous and the ungodly that you can read about in the first verse and the last verse. So you might would pick out one of those for a theme verse if you wanted to pick one for the psalm. Notice the contrast. Another thing, if you want to notice something interesting, notice the contrast between verses 1 and 2. And you could contrast in different ways, maybe, but this is how we could do it. So you have in verse 1, the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, so you know what verses 2 is going to say. You will say, verse 2 says that his delight is in the law of the Lord. So the law of the Lord is what's important. The law of the Lord is so important. His delight is in that. The law of the Lord, the law of the Lord. Now look at the difference and the contrast in verse 1. You have the counsel of the ungodly. You know, which will we take? The law of the Lord or the counsel of the ungodly? You know. And then you have, secondly, in verse 1, the way of sinners. So will we take the law of the Lord or the way of sinners? You see. And then you have, thirdly, the seat of the scornful. Will we take the seat of the scornful, the seat of the mockers, sit with the mockers, sit with the scoffers, or will we take the law of the Lord? Three things described there in verse 1. Again, just back to the one thing in verse 2, the law of the Lord. Now, as we think about those three items in verse 1, I'm sure God has it written like he has it for a purpose. And there's progression there. There's progression there. Please note that. So first of all, you have listening to counsel. What does it say? Walketh not in the counsel. So as I mentioned these three things here as the progression, you can probably think of people. Maybe this has happened to you before, but you can think of those who have gone through this progression from living according to the way of God to completely not living according to the way of God and the progression they went through. So you have this progression here. Walketh in the counsel. Listening to the counsel of the ungodly. You know, you want to do what's right. You feel like you want to do what's right, but you're listening to the counsel of the ungodly. That's step one. Then what does it say next? Standeth in the way of sinners. So you've listened long enough. They've listened long enough that now they're not just walking by and listening, but now they're standing with the sinners. Close to them, buddying up to them, standing with them. And then finally, the third one, sitting and scoffing at what's right. First take their counsel, then stand with them, then sit and make fun of the righteous. Let's look next at some negatives and positives. Of course, the negatives here are about the ungodly. First of all, what does it call? What do we have? What names do we have here for the ungodly? Well, we have the word ungodly. And we have the word ungodly several times, actually four times. Ungodly is used in verse 1, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6. Another name for the ungodly is sinners. And we have the word sinners used in verses 1 and 5. And then if you want to use the word chaff, or no, scornful, we'll say. Scornful is used, of course, for a name of these ungodly people in the end of verse 1. Other negative terms or negative things, negative characteristics about the ungodly are, I already said it, chaff is one of them. So you have the word chaff in verse 4. It compares them to chaff. Now, you've probably seen pictures or read stories of cleaning grain years ago when, you know, the grain was pushed around and mashed around to get the real good center grain out of the husk of wheat or corn or whatever. But you still have little small pieces of chaff, little light, no good things in there. Now you see, the chaff is so much nothing. Now, like the straw You know, the straw is not the grain, but at least the straw can be useful for something, and that is saved oftentimes. But the chaff, they would take the grain and maybe get on a high place where it's more windy, or wait till a windy day and slowly pour it out and let the wind just blow the chaff away. Or hold it on several people with a big blanket of some kind and kind of toss the grain up and down in the air and let the wind just blow the chaff away. It would just be gone. It would be just useless. It would be no more. What does verse 4 say? But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. To be seen no more. To be used no more. It is no more. How terrible, how sad. It's describing some people like that. The ungodly are not so, but are just like that chaff that is no more, as it were. Another negative term describing the ungodly, I just said it, driven away. Driven away. In verse 5, another negative term. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. In other words, no excuse on the judgment day. They will have no standing, no salvation, no protection, no excuse on the judgment day. They won't stand. They can't stand. And the last part of verse 5, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They will have no place with God's people. And lastly, something negative about, of course, the ungodly, the very end of the psalm, shall perish. Shall perish. You can think about that one for a while, but just shall perish. That's it. So again, just to repeat those negative things about the ungodly. They're called ungodly. They're called sinners. They're called scornful. They're compared to chaff. They're driven away. There's no excuse on the judgment day. They have no place with God's people, and they shall perish. Now, let's think about the positive things concerning the righteous. First of all, what are they called? They're called righteous. They're called righteous in the end, right at the end of the psalm. That verse 6 that I said could be one that kind of sums up the whole psalm. They're called righteous. What are they called at the beginning of the psalm? They're called a blessed man. Actually, the word is, as you can see in your Bible, is in that different type of print. It's been put in there to help us the flow in our present-day English. But really, the is not there, and it would just be a blessed man, or blessed the man. The man is blessed. Blessed man. So what's he called? They're called righteous. They're called a blessed man. As far as particular other names in nouns like that, that's the only two. Blessed man and righteous. Now, it is interesting, though, how that this blessed man and this righteous one is referred to so many other times in the psalm. The word he and his together are used 7 times in this little psalm. We're talking about things now that are positive. And it has to do with this righteous person, this blessed man. So the psalm says in verse 2, his delight. I'm looking at all the places where it says his, referring to this blessed man. His delight. And you go to the next verse. His fruit. That's certainly positive. His season. God planned for seasons. God is making this comparison, going through the fruitful seasons. His leaf. You know what it says about his leaf. It will not wither, will not fade. So the word his there is used 4 times in this psalm, referring to this blessed man. Again, it's so interesting that the word he or his is never used to refer to the ungodly. He just called ungodly or a sinner or a scornful. Then the word he is used 3 times, again referring to the blessed man or the righteous man. It says in verse 2, he meditates. It says in the next verse, he shall be like a tree. And of course, it describes that furthermore. And he shall prosper. The end of verse 3. He shall prosper. Furthermore, for positive things that it uses to talk about the righteous, the blessed man, well, it uses the word blessed. He's blessed. Is that you? Is that who you want to be? I trust it is. He's blessed. Another word that has a positive connotation, he delights. Usually when we use the word delights, we're using it in a positive way. Furthermore, it says he's like a tree, like a strong tree. It's using that comparison for strength and fruitfulness. He's like a tree. And yes, it speaks of him being fruitful. Is that me and you? You know. Furthermore, it says he will not wither, it will not fade, talking about his leaves. We just had a little dogwood tree that's several years old in our yard that just gave up the ghost just recently. That we don't know why. I say several years. It's been there, you know, maybe 10 years or something. Along the edge of the woods where it's kind of protected. But its leaves are all withered. In fact, they're drying up right now. We don't know what happened. But anyway, his leaf will not wither or will not fade, the Bible says here in verse 3. The last word of verse 3, he prospers. He prospers. You can probably make a list of a few people that are not living according to God's way, that are, yes, ungodly or sinners, and in so many, many ways they are not prospering. The last thing I jotted down for the positive things about the righteous man is in the last verse. The Lord knows. The Lord knows him. The Lord knows that righteous person. It's interesting. how that verse 6 comes out, you know, is that why it says it that way? But it's all wrapped up in the word know, and that what it means by the Lord knowing, that relationship there. So it says, simply says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. I'm so grateful and glad for that, and you are too. And then in contrast to that, it does not use the word know anymore. It just says, but. And you know, something contrasting and opposite is getting ready to come through. But the ungodly shall perish, period. How sad. I mentioned already that verse 2 is the one that just should jump out at us, and how it's stated in such a matter-of-fact, short way compared to how it describes the ungodly. I think I would like to turn to a few verses in Numbers chapter 22 to suggest something that we can learn from. So the word, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, what God says. Okay, and that's what he delights in. And he meditates on that day and night. And he prospers. And the Lord knows him. Sometimes, too often, the devil would have us, would tempt us to make light of the word of God. Many people do, of course. Well, yeah, that's what you believe. Well, yeah, I know, you know, I said in the Bible this, but, you know, that was for a certain time or a certain day or a certain situation. That doesn't apply to me, you know, and that kind of thing. If you haven't read the story or been reminded of this false prophet Balaam that you see in Numbers 22, if you haven't considered that and read this passage and other passages about him lately, I would encourage you to do so. We've preached before just on this little short story, which is really a long story, about Balaam. I say it's long because I think Balaam, false prophet Balaam, is mentioned in the Bible, I believe it's 9 different times. He's mentioned in the Old Testament numbers of times. He's mentioned in the New Testament a couple of times. I think it's a total of 9 different times. He's always looked at in a dark light. A dark light. In a dark way. He's always shown in a negative way whenever it talks about Balaam. So he claimed, well, he was a prophet, but he was a bad prophet, a false prophet. He was doing things to try to get financial gain for his own self. And so God had spoken some direction to him, and the wicked king wanted him to curse the Israelites. How could a man that claimed to have a relationship with God, how could he ever go so far as to curse God's people? But that's what he tried to do. We'll look at a couple of verses here in chapter 22, just to see how he went against the word of God, and contrast that with verse 2 of Psalm 1 that we're looking at. Verse 2 of Psalm 1 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, let's contrast that to how Balaam acted in chapter 22 of Numbers. Verse 6. This is King Balak asking Balaam to curse God's people. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail that we may smite them and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot not that he whom thou blessest is blessed and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Now verse 8. And he said unto them, lodge here this night and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. So now Balaam, how, this is Balaam speaking in verse 8. He's saying, oh, you want me to curse God's people? Well, let me think about it. I will think about it overnight, and I'll let you know what I come up with. As the Lord shall speak unto me. As the Lord shall speak unto me. Now, the Lord's going to give him a word. The Lord's going to answer his question. And he won't listen. Psalm 1:2 says, but his delight, the godly man, the blessed man, his delight is in the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord. Balaam's was not. Look at verse 12 here in Numbers 22. And God said unto Balaam, this is now God's message. This is God's word to Balaam. Thou shalt not go with them. That's the king's messengers. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. So God gave Balaam three clear words there. You shall not go with these king's messengers that want to bring you to curse the people. You shall not curse the people, secondly. And thirdly, those people are blessed. Now, Balaam knew that. Balaam got that straight from God. Look at verse 13. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. It's kind of like he's pouting. He wanted so bad to go and curse this people and get some money for it. But God said, no, Balaam, you can't do that. And so now he's kind of pouting to the king's messengers. I guess I can't go with you after all. I guess I can't. Verse 13. Now look at verse 15. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. So the king, of course, this wicked king won't give up. And so he sends other messengers to Balaam to get his wish done, to get the people cursed. Now remember verse 12, Balaam had a direct word from God. Now verse 18. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. He's trying to look so good, and yet he's ungodly. He's trying to look right in the eyes of Balak and his messengers, but he's not right in his heart. Verse 19, now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. The Lord already said unto him in verse 12, Does the Lord say one thing one day, and tomorrow we have a different Bible? Or is this the Word of God? And does God speak what He means? Okay, we'll leave Numbers 22. But I'm saying, as we look at Psalm 1 here, verse 2, the blessed man doesn't go by the counsel of the ungodly, verse 1 and 2 here. The blessed man doesn't stand in the way of sinners. You see, that's exactly what Balaam was doing. He was listening to their counsel, listening to the request of the king, the wicked king, through his messengers. And then he stood in their way. And finally, he was going toward sitting in their seat, mocking the children of Israel, cursing the children of Israel. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And Balaam did not delight. In fact, Balaam pouted about the word of God. Balaam's delight was not in the law of the Lord. We'll look at one other passage concerning the importance of the word. That verse 2 that just is, it's just so important in this little psalm. The law of the Lord and following it and meditating on it day and night. That man is blessed. That man is the righteous man in verse 6. The Lord knows that man. Does the Lord know you because of your relationship to His word? Does the Lord know you well because He knows you know His word well and you delight in His word? And you take time with it regularly. And therefore, the Lord knows you in your way. That's what it says in the beginning of verse 6. But I want to, with the importance of the word, I would like to look at a few verses in Deuteronomy. And it's chapter 6. Deuteronomy in chapter 6. Now, when King David, or if it was not him, one of the, he wrote most of the, in the first part of the book of Psalms, what is it, Psalm 1 through 40 or 41, I believe it is, the first book of the Psalms, he wrote most of them. I don't believe it says about David at the beginning of Psalm 1, but he may have. So this man that delighted in the law of God, what scripture did he have that challenged him? And so you might turn to this Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'd like to read a few verses here. I'll begin reading at verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, thee, thou and thy son, thy son's sons, and all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily. Did I read in Psalm 1 that the righteous man will prosper and he will be fruitful? And here it says that it may be well with thee and thou mayest increase mightily. Continuing with verse 3, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Look at verse 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do them which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. What's the reason for this? That it may be well with thee. God has our good in mind. He will prosper us. The man in Psalm 1 was prospered. God knew him. And he delighted in God's word. I'm turning back then to Psalm 1 to wrap this up. Well, that was... The psalmist knew this scripture. He delighted in God's word. God knew him. God prospered him. He was established. I didn't say much about this tree in verse 3, but many things you could learn about that man's life compared to a good strong tree that's well watered. So let me just read verse 3. He shall be like a tree, this blessed man, this righteous man, planted by the rivers of water. That means that he gets enough nourishment. He's not drying up, okay? By the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let me just make a couple comments on verse 6. Then we'll end with a scripture that's similar to this, just a few verses in Jeremiah. But look at verse 6. We've talked about it some already, of course. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Knoweth. God has your back. That's an expression that's used some today. God has your back. He knoweth you. He will back you up, in other words. He will back up the righteous man. He knoweth him. He will support you. Another version says, he watches over. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Another version uses the word protects. Lord protects the way of the righteous. As far as a couple of words from Strong's concordance and dictionary, they use the word acknowledge. For the Lord acknowledges. He cares for and he gives recognition to the way of the righteous. The Lord knoweth. There's so much in that little word, knoweth. And that's so beautiful. To have that kind of relationship. That God knows me, I know him. And it has a lot to do with me, with verse 2. With me delighting in his law. And meditating on it in a regular, timely way. And therefore, we have a relationship. The Lord knows me, I know him. The Lord knows me and has my back, as it were. Backs me up. We will then conclude by just a couple of verses in Jeremiah, and it happens to be chapter 17, Jeremiah 17. It's four verses, and actually, I believe the first two and the second two, are in contrast one to another. And it's easy for us to see that contrast as we read them. Jeremiah 17, and it's verses 5 to 8. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now, can we compare that to the first verse of Psalm 1? You see, where it's, we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We don't stand in the way of sinners. We don't sit in the seat of the scoffers and mockers. We don't take our information and counsel from the ungodly world. That's what I just read in verse 5 right here. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Verse 2 of Psalm 1 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's where he gets his information from. That's where he gets his counsel from. Continuing with verse 5, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Verse 6, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Now that doesn't sound too good, does it? That sounds all very negative to me, and I believe it does to you too. Now, the next two verses. Verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. But his delight, you see, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 1, verse 2. Verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. May those little six verses of Psalm 1 be a challenge to us this morning. They are to me. And God will bless us as we follow his word and not follow the counsel of the world, the ungodly world around us. We want to close by singing a song. There's a song, at least one song in our book, that goes right along. It's written around Psalm 1, and that is number 278. If you turn to 278, the song leader will come and lead us.
That